Some things have so much glamour to them. Whenever one of my friends says to me,
would you like to come bowling, Josie?
That's my friend Maeve, by the way.
Can I say at this point that I've never asked you to go bowling before?
Okay, well, let's say whenever another friend of mine, could you pretend to be like another friend of mine?
Yeah, which one?
Terry.
Okay. Would you like to come bowling?
I think, brilliant, Terry, bowling. I'm great at bowling, Terry. The quiffs, the little shoes, white Russians. What's that car over there, Terry?
That's my hot rod.
Of course it is, Terry. I feel like it is going to be all of the fun of the 1950s with none of that gays are illegal, women can't vote until they're 21 and married crap. And then I get there and within 20 seconds, I want to die. Gutterball after gutterball tells me I am beyond contempt. And if I don't get the message, an animated pin on the scoreboard shoots itself in the head. Doesn't matter how hard I try at some things, I don't get any better. I've never had any balance, I can't do handstands, I can't do cartwheels, and I just watch resentfully as other people take their hands off the handlebars when they're riding a bike.
I can do that, it's really easy.
What do you mean it's easy?
Take your hands off.
It's impossible.
Cool.
And that's how I feel about looking at the stars. Other people see them. Other people can find them. I can't. I'm out at night and then suddenly...
A shooting star! Another shooting star! Three shooting stars! Did you see them? That was amazing!
Wow!
Wow, I will never forget that until I'm on my deathbed. I'll even remember it into my eternal life. I'd feel worthless if I'd missed that.
Where were they?
I feel totally useless.
Where? Just where?
Was it, they're gone forever now. Can't believe you didn't see it. They were right there. What about Gemini over there? Can you see it? Beautiful, life-changing Gemini.
It doesn't matter how much people try and point things out. I can only and have only ever seen the plough. I can see 15 different bloody ploughs and nothing else. Then something changed, right? What happened was my friend Robin introduced me to watching Carl Sagan and Richard Feynman talking about space and science.
Richard Feynman explained science with joy and good humour and it's infectious, and he was annoyed when he won the Nobel Prize and he couldn't... Well, why are you annoyed? He went, because they rang me up at midnight. I was asleep. Why did they wake me up? Why can they wait until the morning? And then he had to go on a TV show, and on the TV show they said, can you explain how you won the Nobel Prize in 2 minutes? He said, I couldn't explain. I told the taxi driver afterwards and he said, well, Mr. Feynman, if you could explain it in 2 minutes, you wouldn't have won the Nobel Prize. He was very, very cool.
I felt fired up and unafraid. I want to pick out the constellations and impress people at nighttime airfares. I want Patrick Moore and Brian May to come to my house, but this time not just because I run a gamelan group. I want to be like the ancient Polynesians who used the stars to guide them home because they lived in the sky, I assume. And although I don't, I live in a shared house, which is very nice, thank you very much, apart from a recurring rat infestation. I decided to educate myself. The first thing I did was buy myself Astronomy for Dummies, but from the get-go, my relationship with it wasn't easy, right? I'm not a dummy, I just want to learn. I felt like it was insulting me, like, you don't know about physics, you toilet. And the more I read, the more confused I felt about the author, Professor Stephen Maron, PhD, brackets, recipient of the NASA Medal for Exceptional Achievement, close brackets. Sometimes he would say such kind things.
I hope you experience the joy, excitement, and enchantment that people have always found in the skies.
And I would be so excited. But other times, he's so anxious to point out that...
You may never see a comet yourself.
And then he tells me I can't buy a star and then call it my name because...
The International Astronomical Union doesn't recognise purchased star names.
He's keeping me in my place. And when does that kind of pedantry stop?
Oh, Ethel, I miss you dearly, but whenever I see that bright star up there, I know it's you looking down at me.
No, it's not, Conrad, you idiot. The official recognized name for that star is Gamma Volantis.
Oh.
And he's constantly making the distinction between amateurs and professionals.
Professional astronomers conduct research on the Sun and solar system, the Milky Way galaxy and the universe beyond. They teach in universities, design satellites and operate planetariums. Most hold PhDs. Amateur astronomers know the constellations.
But the thing is, I don't even know the constellations.
Well, Josie, there's Fornax the Furnace, Aquila the Eagle, Fornax the Flying Fish, the Space Stick, obviously.
There isn't a constellation called that.
Well, there should be, shouldn't there?
How am I supposed to find them from their names? They don't look like what they're supposed to look like. It's like, look, Apis, the bird of paradise. It looks exactly like a bird of paradise if you superimpose a picture of a bird of paradise onto it. And the astronomers who named the constellations were really inspirational men, diligent and scientific people, but they are shit to go camping with in Canada. Every single night it's the same thing.
Josie, Josie, wake up, wake up.
Oh, what is it, Galileo?
It's outside, there's a bear.
That's just seven men holding torches.
Oh, sorry. Oh, wait. There's a winged horse, Josie.
That is the same men in a different formation. And then you're trying to put the tent away, but he doesn't roll up the ground sheet properly, and it's too big for the little bag, and he's all like...
But you didn't tell me how to unzip the inner doors of the tent, Josie.
And you're thinking, well, I shouldn't have to say, mate. You're supposed to be a scientific one, aren't you? And he knows you're in a mood, so he sits in the back of the car all the way back, saying...
I'll keep watch, baby.
But then every 5 minutes...
We're being followed by a little dog. Oh, we are being followed by a little dog, Josie.
That is the headlights of the car behind us.
A meteorite.
That is a motorbike, as you well know. The best thing about that section is there is actually a constellation called the Little Dog that is only represented by two stars. Just two stars. Which is also what my Edinburgh show got in the Times last year. Just two stars. Next, I went to the planetarium and I missed the first show because I was late by like 2 minutes. Pedantic, pedantic astronomers. But when I got in, the light show was wonderful. There's a pulsar, a star with a dead core, just spinning and spinning in space. Like how Britney Spears dances the whole time, because she's dead inside. We're going round every planet in the solar system. From our ex-planet Pluto, which is in permanent darkness, presumably as a punishment, to Venus, with lava flowing from volcanoes for hundreds of miles, and Jupiter, with a massive storm on its surface that's raged for 300 years. And the storm, just the storm, is twice the size of the Earth. And that's when I started to feel overwhelmed again. Take the Sun. Our planet fits into the Sun 1 million times. You try and imagine it. You try and visualise it, but it's just too immense. We are so insignificant, and we completely and precariously rely on the Sun. And then they tell me it'll die in 500,000 million years. And I know that's a long time away, but it still makes me feel like everything I do is pointless. It's like, what's the point in writing a novel? We'd only get burnt up by the sun in 5 billion years. So if we wanted to send out a sound beam to a distant galaxy 12 billion light years away, the Earth will be long dead by the time it reaches it. So I say what you like, be as belligerent as possible. What are they going to do about it?
But the great Carl Sagan dedicated his life to trying to find life on other planets. He never gave up trying to communicate with deep space. Pick any star at night, there could be life around it, and it might be wrong to assume they could never reach us.
I just read about how in 1974, Frank Drake broadcast messages giving what he saw as essential information on human beings, our DNA, the population, stuff like that. What happened was, in 1977, there was an unprecedentedly loud signal, so loud that the person monitoring it just wrote, wow. So in 2007, I did the same thing. And if my calculations are correct, any minute now will be... My space phone is vibrating! I've got a response! Oh, my God, listen!
Hello, I got your message, and I thought it would be amazing to hang out. My name's Josie Long. I'm a comedian on the planet Thornax in deep space. I like crafts and running and tell short stories about America in the 1950s. And I totally agree that Brian was the best character on The Biggest Loser USA in the last series.
That's amazing. It's my exact cosmic twin. She's my doppelganger in every way. She wants to meet up. Wait, there's another message.
Ha! It says in your message that you like the film Rushmore. God, I know you're joking. What a pretentious piece of shit. My favourite film, and it's probably yours, is Moulin Rouge.
Oh my God, I can't believe she likes Moulin Rouge. What a mental. There's no way I'm meeting up with her. That is getting deleted.
What? You've just received the first ever message from extraterrestrial life, and you're not going to follow it up? I mean, that was Carl Sagan's life's work.
Dude, she hates Rushmore. I mean, what's not to like? Oh my God, Maeve! It's a message from your space doppelganger!
That's Tainted Love by Mark Almond, Josie.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's Tainted Love by Mark Almond. Not even the Mark Almond from another planet, just the Mark Almond from Earth.
I think you guys probably have a lot more in common than you realise.
And it's not even on the space phone, it's on the radio.
So, Maeve's found her cosmic twin. I've found some old weirdo. Space feels like it still has magic to it. And I think part of that is to do with the fact that stargazing happens at night. I like being a stand-up comedian a lot for the times that I'm travelling home, out on the streets very late, at that weird green-blue time before dawn. During the Edinburgh Festival in 2002, when I was staying in Leith Walk, every night very late we'd stop off in the garage to get snacks on the way home. The man behind the counter seemed like the most indie man in the world. He had curly hair and a quiet manner that was very polite. And one night I went in to find an 8-piece French band playing bongo drums and guitars. I think the sort of band that would have annoyed me in other contexts. And when I asked him about what they were doing there, he said,
I don't know, they just turned up and started playing about 4 hours ago.
As if that was the kind of thing that always happened at all-night garages, without seeming mean that only squares would really see to point it out. And that's what astronomy started to feel like. Astronomers have always had to fight against the establishment. No wonder they have a tendency to be pedantic and shirty now. The great astronomers were persecuted, although Galileo probably deserved it. Oh. Copernicus died shamed and exiled. Heraclides Ponticus said the Earth turns, and people hated him for it.
You idiot, if the Earth was turning, I'd feel like the rider of a whirling chariot, which I never do.
And it took 1,800 years for people to prove him right. But in star terms, that's the blink of an eye. The stars were friends to them, and they can be friends to you. And the thing is, you never are alone looking at the stars. There are hundreds of thousands of people watching with you. Even Australians, although it's the daytime there. Idiots. Okay, take your radio outside. Right, I mean it. This bit isn't a joke. Take it outside. Or open your window and put your head out. It doesn't matter where you are. What I'm doing now is stalling for time while you walk out of your house or pull the car over or soar through the window bars. Now look up at the stars. It doesn't even matter what the constellations are called. If you lie down and watch the stars, it's like they belong to you. Billions of sparkling jewels that are yours. Name them after what they actually look like calling them, Mum, don't have a go, but I've dropped them pearls. Or, look what the moths have done to this curtain. Or better still, name the constellations after the astronomers who found them. Oh, there's old Heraclides. The world's turning. Sure it is, mate. Sure it is. And there's Newton, that big object pulling along a little one. And Einstein, that one big star bending everything around it.
Why are you calling them Newton and Einstein?
I just found out about the two theories of gravity and I wanted to sound clever.
Well, I'd say that one looks more like a penny farthing.
Yeah, and I'd probably call the other one the space stick.
Drop it, Robin. There is not and will never be a constellation called the space stick. Oh, hang on. My real phone's going now. Hello?
Hello, it's Professor Stephen Marin, PhD, recipient of the NASA Medal for Exceptional Achievement. I was just calling to speak to Robin.
Oh, Robin, it's for you.
Hello.
Hi, Robin. I wanted you to know I'm petitioning to have the constellation of Cassiopeia renamed the Space Stick.
Yes, a petition. The Space Stick is coming.
Fine. If that's what Professor Marin thinks, then I trust him.
Thanks.
No, thank you, especially for that awesome bit in the book when you said that comets were like Tartufo ice cream, but not as tasty, but they are a real treat to the eye. I'm sorry I said you're pedantic. You're just very scientific.
Thank you. You flatter me.
So I decided to go out and look for the Orionids meteor shower. And I didn't see any. My boyfriend did, but I didn't. I couldn't even find Orion. But then, as we got up to leave, I saw it. Bright as anything, I saw Orion's belt and his head. Orion was right there, and I finally saw it. Not intimidating, not even frustrating, just marvellous. And Max Ernst said, the marvellous is always beautiful. Anything marvellous is beautiful. In fact, only the marvellous is beautiful. But then Max Ernst never showed up to my sister's wedding, even though he was invited to the afternoon do and the evening do. He didn't even bother RSVPing, so make your own conclusions there.
All of the Planet's Wonders, shown in detail, was written by and starred Josie Long, with Maeve Higgins, Robin Ince, and Professor Stephen Marin, PhD, recipient of the NASA Medal for Exceptional Achievement. It was produced by Colin Anderson.